nothing hidden. That's not true as of now. There's quite a few things that are hidden from us that we don't come to a total understanding. But there is a time and a place when we're going to understand everything from our Father. That's what we're going for today. When is that? You know, you'll never have a better time to live than right now. There are so many exciting things taking place. You know, God depends on His children. He depends on them to put His enemies under His footstool. You do that by what? By sticking to truth. Truth is a powerful weapon. It's the most powerful weapon in the world, aside from love itself. And love naturally precedes that, because love is so very demanding, faithful. People are true to that, basically. What a time to live. Even the prophets wanted to live now in this generation of the fig tree. What a time. So, if you would, let's open our Bibles to the book of Ephesians. We're going to take it with chapter 3 and understand nothing hidden. And Paul, probably one of the greatest teachers of teachers aside from Christ himself, brought out many deep things. Yet in their depth, they simply bring forth simplicity of Christ's teachings. You know, how many people do you know that know there was an earth age before this? So simple. You know, science agrees with it. The Bible agrees with it. Everyone does. There was an earth age before this. This is why we find remains of dinosaur, mammoth, and just things that happened long, long ago before the overthrow of Satan. And it's important. That was the beginning. That's part of that is hidden for many people. That's why you won't find just everybody every day that understands that. A little difficult to explain it to them. But Paul's kind of letting loose here, and he kind of goes into some of these things. Listen to it. Chapter 3, verse 1, the great book of Ephesians. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. You see, Paul was sent to three different peoples, as it's written in Acts chapter 9, verse 15. He was sent to the kings and queens, he was sent to Israel, and he was sent to the Gentiles. So Paul always taught on three levels. And many people are going to understand it on different levels until you lose that is hidden and come into the fullness of God's love. Verse 2. If ye have heard of the dispensations of the grace of God, which is given me to you, if you understand these dispensations as they come forth, and you know, there's about eight of them. And Paul understood them very clearly. And that means in time, the beginning, the first earth age, which is one most miss. And without it, you don't understand why we're here. If you don't understand that God wanted to save some of His children that were lost there. Why? He loves them. He loves His children. Indeed He does. He loves you. He may not love what you do sometimes. That's okay. Repent, follow Him, and be blessed. Be truly blessed. Verse 3, how that by revelation, how did this come to pass? By revelation, He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. That'd be way back in Romans chapter 16. Just a few words. He didn't go into depth. Wasn't time. But He's beginning to brush on these things. And before this lecture is finished, we'll document when that time is and who's involved in it. Verse 4. Whereby, when ye read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. There's not really that much of a mystery. Remember, we were just studying in Matthew chapter 13 wrong about verse 35, where all these things were hidden, as it's written, from the foundation of the world? That's important that it be hidden from certain, because they're not meant to understand at this time. But you are, and we're going to cover it. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. How is it done? By the Holy Spirit. Well, what's the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of your Father Almighty God. As He touches you, as He leads you, as He warms you. You know something? He needs you, but He can get along without you. If you forsake Him, He'll never forsake you. But if you forsake Him, bye-bye. That's your problem, okay? But He loves you. He wants you. He wants you to prove yourself by gaining His wisdom, by gaining the knowledge. You know, many say, well, why was Paul so special? Well, he just was. You know, and if you really can accept this, receive it, he was chosen in the first earth age because he was tough. I mean, when he went after something, he was a zealot. You didn't get any more driven than Paul was. Even when he was against the church, he was driven for that. He didn't accept it. Man, he was against the church, hook, line, and sinker. But then when Christ struck him down, but then at one time, whether in the body or out, Paul would say in 2 Corinthians, I don't know, but I was taken to the third heaven age. And understand, I didn't say the third heaven. I said the third heaven age. And I was showing what was going on there. It was wonderful. I could understand everything. And then God took it away from me when I came back here. It was too much for that time. But that's why Paul can write of these things. He's seen a lot. He knows a lot. Even with that was removed from him. Verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel, whomsoever will. Everything has its place and order. That's the way God always has been. Everything in order. Remember back when He fed the 10,000? He said, you set them down in order. I'm not going to feed a bunch of grubbers and grabbers here. We're going to pray over this food, and we're going to do it right. By 50s. You see, He still expects order, and that's why you want to remember in your life, when you plan out your day, you do it with order. The order of the day. And you hang to it as best you can, unless Father nudges you, and He does that sometimes. He has little different plans for us, doesn't He? 7. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. All on that road to Damascus, that power hit him. You know, you might say, well, how did it just hit him and he knew all Scripture? Paul was a fan. You misunderstand if you think Paul was taught all Scripture that day. Paul knew the Scripture. Paul would say in one place, I speak more languages than all of you. He spoke Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, probably 5 dialects of the Babylonian tongue, Chaldee. He understood the Scriptures. He just didn't know that Christ had come. But Christ showed him that He had by striking him down on the road to Damascus. And when Paul saw that truth, all that zeal focused in a different direction. You know something? Most of you have a part of that zeal in you. You want to learn. You want, let me word it this way. You want to understand. And you strive for that. You push forward for it. You study for it. You pray for it. And you know something? If you ever have a little bit of trouble having Him release that knowledge to Him, telling you want that knowledge to help others a little bit. Maybe just be your kinfolk. Bam! That's the key that unlocks the door a lot of times, my friend. That's why you hear these people say, well, you got to pray the prayer of Jabez. You know, and they mimic that thing. What was so special about Jabez's prayer? It was for other people, not himself. You know, that's a hard lesson, I suppose, for some to learn, but that's the key that unlocks the door to receiving wisdom from God, is to do it unselfishly, to be willing to help others with it, when that opportunity prevails. But man, he was pegged a minister. Verse 8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. He always said this. As knowledgeable as he was, do you know why? Because he persecuted the church. He never forgave himself for that. I don't believe because of this such writings as this. Because he was really hard on the Christian church and hard on Christians until he got squared away in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus. Least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? And they are unsearchable. The knowledge, the wisdom, the love, the understanding. Peace of mind comes from that. And beloved, let me tell you something. If you don't have peace of mind, you're missing the boat. Okay. Peace of mind is one of the richest things in the world to possess. You're happy with yourself, and you're happy with those around you. And it is true, we have to take names and kick drag in a little bit every once in a while, but hey, good exercise. No problem. Okay? Can do type people. I love you for that. Verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Boy, that is getting right down there. The fellowship, where we fellowship with each other in that mystery of studying, of learning, of being blessed. Which from the beginning of the world, that's the world age, hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. What a statement. You mean God created all things by Jesus Christ? That's right, you got it. You've heard me sometimes mention a polysyndeton. That's a pretty big word, polysyndeton. But all it means is, if we got a word here that says a great deal more than is written. That's all it means. And when God created all things in the beginning, that little word "and," have you noticed there's one before every verse just about in Genesis chapter 1? And the Spirit moved. That was Christ. He was there. The light of the world was there. The light was there before the moon and the stars were even unveiled. And was with God in the creation. In the beginning was the Logos, the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. That Word will always bring you peace of mind, knowledge, wisdom. Do you know something? It makes it a lot easier to get along in this world if you know what's going to happen tomorrow. Did you ever think about that? Don't let that be the reason you study God's prophecies. But it sure makes it a lot easier. I mean to tell you, before these things were created, Christ was there. And you know something? He's your friend. You can talk to him. He's with you. And look what he's done. The magnificence of it. And he's your friend. He's family to you. One of the nearest relatives you'll ever have through the Father. Verse 10. To the intent, or this is the intention, that now unto the principalities of powers in heavenly places, you know what those are? Even angelic beings. Even Satan, if you would, even the negative powers, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. That's what you're supposed to know, is pull it from the principalities, to know the manifold wisdom of God and his plan to defeat Satan and give every child an opportunity to reach out and grab that golden ring of salvation and hang on and work with him, for him, and help others. You know, I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of troubled people in this world. Lots of them. They're just, I mean, you can see that they're just about ready to give up. And you've got so much to offer. You've got so very much to offer someone like that. I mean, just on a one-on-one basis of hope, true hope, hope from this word, hope from that that was, hope that that is, that of that that is, and that that's going to be. You're special. You're one of God's children. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. It was the plan coming out the gate. It hasn't changed. That's why it's easy to learn of it. It doesn't change. It stays the same. Our Father's love stays the same. His love for you. Verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. In your Christianity, I mean, you go for it, friend. You be happy in it. You can have confidence in it because it's not fake. It's real. And when you pray, when you talk to him, when you grow close to him, he speaks to you. He speaks to your heart, your mind. And when it's dark and you're kind of about to lose your way, he says, here, child, this way. Why? He loves you. That's why he sends his counsel. And he was there from the beginning, all the time, in that plan of God, that mystery that is hidden to most of the world, but not to you. 13, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. I want, if anything, for my hardships of getting locked up and knocked around a little bit every once in a while, wearing these handcuffs, that you be encouraged by it. I'm doing it for you. And why is the reason I'm handcuffed? I stole the loaf of bread? No. For the name of Jesus. For teaching the word. For teaching truth. Never apologize for tribulation from serving God. Verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I worship him. I love him. Verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I want you to grasp that. Don't read over it. Our family here on earth, but not only here on earth, but in heaven. Do you have any really loved ones that have passed on? I do. And I know they're there. And I know they're part of that family. And I know they're pulling. I know we're a family working together to one great mystery that will not be hidden to those of God's election. And that family will defeat Satan and anything he stands for, bringing peace of mind and understanding and peace to the family that participates in that love, in that family, both here on earth and in heaven. That's a big statement, friend. I hope you can grasp it. And verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. You know, when your inner man gets down, do you know who to go to? You should. When your inner man, that's yourself, that's your own soul. When it gets kind of down, go to him. Say, Father, I could just use a little pickup from the Word. Give me a word. And then get in the Word. And know where wisdom and blessings come from. Those riches, he owns the world, he will touch you. He will give you that hope, that peace, and that understanding. It's his promise. Take it. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. that ye being rooted and grounded in love, has that love taken root in your mind? Has that love taken root in your body, that love for Christ? The fact that He, one of our closest relatives, died on the cross, that Gentiles, kings and queens, and Israel can attain salvation, can change their life, can give them hope. You know, what it just said, He wants to dwell in you because you're family. You're part of Him. Don't ever forget. Don't ever get lonely. It's just a waste of time for you to get lonely. Because He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He wants to be with you, in you. 18. May be able to comprehend with all saints, that means God's elect, called ones, set aside ones, what is the breadth and length and depth and height? Do you know that of His love? Do you know that of His plan, or is it hidden from to you? Don't worry, it'll come. And to know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Boy, you know, that's for you. How can you go wrong? How can you be down when you have so much to be up about? 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, that's to say His power, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. We're going on into the eternity. You know, you're going to have to put up with these people a long time. That's what happens. That's, you know, my Irish almost said, go ahead and say good, bad, and the ugly. No, my Irish won't even let me do that because it's family, it's love. It's the knowledge of God's instilled within us that it's not hidden. And we know how generous our love can be as we share in the Word and as we are in this world, world without end. You know, think about that. Never going to end. And it does nothing but get better and better and better. That's the way it is. Let's get a little taste of this from the Old Testament before we identify when and where. Psalms 33. I'm just going to go ahead and start reading, okay? Psalms 33, because verse 6 is where I want to get to. Rejoice in the Lord. This is Psalms 33, verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is commonly for the upright. It's a common thing. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto Him with the psalmistry and an instrument of 10 strings. A lot of people say, well, should you have music in the church? Well, can you read? Verse 3. Sing unto Him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. I mean, don't hold back. Naturally, that new song is sung in Revelation 15, and it's a song that God's elect sing. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. You can count on it. Verse 5, He loveth righteousness. He likes it when you do what is right, beloved, and judgment, what is fair. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. 6, by the word of the Lord. What happened by the word of the Lord? By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. Host is the people. All right? That's the citizenry. My friend, that's you. Okay? In the beginning, when the host was created, He gathereth the waters of the sea together as in heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. I mean, just like putting it in an old skin bottle. It was that easy for Him. Do you know who we're talking about here? Your Father. He's got it. He can do it. He can cut it. Can you? Well, I'll just get down a little bit. Stop it. You've got everything in the world to be up about. It's He and you. And you and Him. And we helping our hurting brothers and sisters that the truth is hidden to and from. 8, let all the earth fear the Lord. That's revere. Love Him. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. They should. Look at the stars. He put them there. For He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. I mean, can-do type father. He's yours. I mean, hey, if you want to be proud of your father, just get to it, because he deserves it. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. You take some slick trying to have an intelligent mouth away from the Word of God, and God just puts him to shame. God utilizes common sense and that is written from the beginning and now and shall always be. God's Word will never change. That's why it's worth your time to get into it. Because it's even going to be the same in that eternity. Verse 11, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. He doesn't hold back. Does He share His thoughts with you? You know how, why He does? Because you ask. Because you seek. You seek and you're going to find. Okay. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. God bless America. And the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance, in those He chose that will stand fast and will witness and will bring forth that is hidden, so that nothing is hidden. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. Do you think He doesn't have time to pay attention to you? He does. He knows you. You know why? You're His child. He owns your soul. You didn't necessarily give it to Him. He already owned it. It's His. But He touches you. You know why He loves you? It is His will that you serve Him. That's 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. From the place of His habitation, He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. Wow! He sees you. He notices you. Well, I just would like to pray to Him, but I don't know if He's got time for me. He's looking at you. Okay. He knows. And your angel, as it is written in the 18th chapter of Matthew, has His face at any time that you're in trouble. How fortunate we are. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. He considers all their faith. That's not what it says. He considereth all their works. How's yours looking? Okay. You know, I want you to know something. A lot of people, when a preacher or a teacher says that, they think, well, I've got to be a teacher. No, that's not necessarily so. The many-membered body does a lot more teaching than a preacher does or a teacher. The many-membered body teaches millions of people on a one-on-one basis, where they got their attention, spreading that word, planting those seeds. You bet. And God considereth, and God gave everyone what they need. Did you catch that? He gave everyone their thoughts. He gave you what you need if you use it. Okay? 16, there is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Famine from what? From hearing the word of God that is hidden. He loves all His children so very much. And you know, I know His eye tears up on occasion when He looks down and He's considering people. I know His eyes can't help but tear up when He sees some beheaded and sees the heathenistic actions of this day. And don't worry, don't worry. The judge is coming. And he makes everything all right. You don't have to worry about it. Okay, in closing, we're going to go to Matthew, the great book of Matthew here. Matthew chapter 10. So that we can understand why, when, and where that these things, nothing hidden, it's all going to come out. We're not going to have a light under a bushel. We're going to shine that light. You are going to shine that light. Matthew chapter 10, verse 17. Concerning God's elect. But beware of men, anthropos. For they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. This is the synagogues of Satan, when he comes as the spurious Messiah. This is when, this is where, and this is why. That there is nothing hidden. And guess who has a part in it? You do. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake. For your sake? For somebody else's sake? For my sake, Christ says. For a testimony against them and the nations, Gentiles. You're going to do it. And you know what you're going to speak? You're going to release that has been hidden from the foundation of the world. And there's not going to be any error in your mouth. It's going to come out straight, and it's going to come out true, and there shall be nothing hidden when you speak, when you are delivered up before the synagogue of Satan. Verse 19. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak. See, we don't even get a chance to mess it up. Got it? Not a prayer. For it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. What hour is that, beloved? The hour of temptation. I plead with you, never even come close to letting Satan be tempting to you as the spurious Messiah. Abhor him. Know that what he's doing to our brothers and sisters that have not heard, that have not eyes to see. And when you're ready for the Spirit to speak, let it be powerful through you. Don't hold back. Verse 20. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. What Spirit is that? The Spirit of the Father. It's the Holy Spirit. There's only one. You want me to say that again? God wants to speak through you. Can you believe that? He does. He wants to speak through you, of all people. And you're not to even premeditate what you'll say, because it will be God speaking. Irrefutable. It is written in Luke 21 that even the gainsayers are convinced by the words of God at that moment. What a destiny, what a purpose. Verse 21, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Who is death? It's Satan. They're going to think Satan is Jesus, and they're going to go to Satan and say, Jesus, this is my good brother, save him. He's a good old boy, but he's been listening to some bad advice. So help him. Won't you do that? That's how they deliver you up. And that's all in the plan. You know why? How can God speak through you until you are delivered up? Wham! That's when Satan gets the double whammy. He gets it from you, but mainly from the Father. A parent will not betray a child to death, but a parent that believes that Satan is the spurious Messiah, Jesus, and that's who he claims to be. They will tell on you. They will deliver you. Why? They want to save your soul. Only they don't know what they're doing. But that's good. That's in the plan. You don't have to worry. Do you think Satan, as the mysterious Messiah, is throwing people in jail and torturing them? How could he play the hand of Jesus if that were the case? No, quite the contrary. He's starting a church, and he wants you to join it. Verse 22, and ye shall be hated of all men for what? For my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. I mean, God it may. You don't know. It is written in Ezekiel 44 in the millennium chapters that you will even help judge. God said, don't give them an inheritance in the millennium. I am their inheritance. Wherever they step, it's theirs. Would they take advantage of that? No, I don't believe so. Because I've never seen one of God's elect that was not a compassionate person. Maybe sometimes too much for their own good. I don't know if such a thing is even possible. But they won't take advantage of that. 23. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The second advent. And a lot of people say that's the second tribulation. You got that right. Satan has a tribulation, as it's written in the 24th chapter of this great book of Matthew, as well as Christ has one following to make all things right. 24, listen carefully now. We're getting to where we wanted to come here. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. In other words, the pupil is not above the teacher. Talking about Christ. He's it, okay? And a servant can't be above his master, all right? It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? If they call you a fruitcake, they call him a fruitcake, okay? You know what? I would have walked in the footsteps of Jesus. Well, they crucified him. They beat him. They whipped him. You know, people will pray, oh, well, step in the footprints of Jesus, and when the whip starts coming, they start squirming and saying, I didn't ask for this. Yes, you did. So you want to be careful what you ask for. But that's well and good to get to witness against the spurious Messiah. Do you understand we're talking about you? You that have eyes to see and ears to hear? You don't even have to premeditate what to say. He's going to do it for you. But you do have to have the love to trust him. And no, we have to do it for our brethren. 26. Fear them not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. Why? It's coming out of your mouth. It's God speaking. Anyone will be able to understand it. That's why it can be written in Luke 21 that even the gainsayers will be convinced by what you say at that time, because it's not you that speak, but Almighty God speaking through you, the Holy Spirit. If that is the moment that everything is uncovered, why? Our Father's speaking. And what a child he has to deliver that message. I'm talking about you. What a precious time to live, beloved. What a precious family that's dedicated to serving him and his word. How precious that is. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, or try to, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him, that's our Father, which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I mean, turn it to ashes from within, as it is written of Satan in Ezekiel 28, verses 18 and 19. And verse 30, to conclude, that means I'm going to quit. Okay. 30 reads, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. That's what your Father thinks of you. All the hairs of your head are numbered. He loves you. He's going to protect you. That's what this is all about. He simply wants you to allow Him to speak through you. You know, when Job, when Satan, I can't help but think of Job at a time like this, because God was so pleased with Job, because Job was, I mean, he was staunch, he was righteous. He gave Satan no quarter in his life. And as it's written in Job chapter 1 verse 6, when Satan was walking with the angels before God one day, God asked Satan, what do you think about my boy Job? It's kind of like, what do you think about my elect? Satan says, boy, you take that protection down from them and I can have them just like that. I can get them. And God said, I'm going to tell you what, you won't be able to get my Job. I will take down the wall. And boy, God did. And poor old Job had sores from head to toe. His own wife told him, why don't you just curse God and die? Well, good lady. But Job, he hadn't done anything wrong. He helped with that. And he loved the Father. He didn't let God down. And God blessed him by doubling everything. Don't let God down. Don't let Satan have you. Don't let Satan have his way with you. Anytime he comes whispering around in your ear about, you'll be okay. You know you're loved. You know everything is just fine. Make sure what that spirit is, identify it, okay? Satan loves nothing better than to put God's elect down. You know why? He's got all the rest. He's got him eating right out of his hand. But he doesn't have you eating out of his hand, but he's going to try. But let him bring it on down. Okay. Take names and kick dragon. So, there's nothing hidden that's not going to come to light. And it's going to happen through your lips. What a destiny. What a purpose. And some Christians say, I just don't know what my destiny is. Is baloney Irish? I don't know if it is or not, but baloney. You know, there's everything good for you, everything blessed for you, and you live in this generation. Well, preacher, did you just teach her? Did you kind of make some of that up? No, you followed me at scripture by scripture, precept on precept, and line on line. Nothing hidden. And it's real simple to figure out why. Because it's not you that speak, but who? Our Father God. We can't go wrong any more than you can go wrong with His Word, because it blesses you. Hey, you know, it's fantastic to live in this generation. It's fantastic to have a destiny, a purpose, and have it be from our Heavenly Father. And that Son that was there when all things were created, that word, that polysyndon, and the Spirit moved upon the waters. And He moves on you. He touches your life when you allow it. When you ask, you will receive. If you ask in that right light, so that He can use you to help others, you might say, well, what do you mean by that? How many people do you think are going to be helped when you stand up and let God speak through you and it is broadcast to the world? Millions will be touched and hear. What a destiny. What a purpose. Now, I don't want to get your old balloons all puffed up here and have to puncture them here in a minute, because it's just natural. It's natural because you're God's elect. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, for your promises. Thank you, Father, for loving us, and may we return that love and kind, Father, for we do love you indeed. Bless us, each and every one, this day, to all those we come in contact with. In Jesus' precious name, amen. free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast. But one that is well founded and mature in the Word, and anoint the person, as it is written in James chapter 5. Maryland from, and hey, God heals, okay? There are some that He doesn't heal. Why? Because they make a better witness without the healing. There's always a purpose, all right? And there's always a reason also, lack of faith, blah, 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 and on it goes. Maryland from Oklahoma. What does the Bible say about cremation, and when we die, will we know our loved ones in heaven? Like, will I know my mom and dad and remember they were my parents? Of course you will. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 20 through 25 documents that fact, okay? It's when we're in the millennium and we're already in spiritual bodies. The Bible says nothing about cremation except it reports where two or three were, you know, and were cremated. And nothing wrong with that. And the Bible very clearly states in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, that as soon as the clay pot breaks, that means this flesh body dies, and the silver cord parts, the spirit, which is the intellect of your soul, meaning your soul, goes back to the Father that gave it. And this flesh body goes back to dirt to stay there forever. Okay? You have a spiritual body that is so much better. It's not perishable as flesh is. And so it doesn't matter how that the body returns to dust, whether it's cremation or from longevity of being in the soil. It doesn't matter. You're through with it. As Ecclesiastes chapter 9 says, it goes in the ground and is never remembered again. Why? Because it goes back to plain old dirt. But your spiritual body goes instantly to the Father. They don't lie out here in some hole in the ground. Stephen from Virginia. Should be 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. To be absent from this body is to be present with our Father. Stephen from Virginia, where in the Bible does it talk about Jesus descending into hell and coming back with the keys to hell? Well, he didn't really need a key, okay? He just busted in. You'll read of it in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. And what he did, it was paradise on the opposite side of the Gulf. Those people that had died all the way back to the time of Noah, and I'll even say Adam, didn't have the opportunity of salvation after the crucifixion as we do. So God made that available to them, as He always does His children. He's always completely, totally fair. So, and you can read on into chapter 4, and you'll see that a lot of them took advantage of it. They loved Him. Wilkes from Missouri. Where in the Bible does it speak about the age of accountability? Thank you for your teaching. I do appreciate it. You are welcome. The age of accountability is exactly what the Word translates. When a person has enough knowledge to be accountable. There is not a given age for it. I have known six-year-olds that are accountable because they know and they believe. And most people, many people, think 12 years old is that age. Well, you know, in our modern day, where we have education to the point it is, I know a lot of 12-year-olds that are accountable for in knowledge for a lot of things, and sometimes a lot of it's bad. Okay, so it's according to the child. God always judges His children individually. So the age of accountability, quite frankly, is when a person has enough knowledge to become accountable. Period. Okay. Annie from Tennessee. I have a question I almost forgot to include. All right, and I see they put it in here for me. Okay. And Revelation chapter 13, verse 17, and no one could get a job or even buy an e-store without the permit of that mark, which was either the name of the creature or the code number of his name. My question is, what are we as the elect supposed to do to prepare for this time? What exactly does it mean? Well, there you are in Tennessee and you don't know how to can. I'm surprised. I really am surprised that you live right there in Tennessee, where some of the best gardens in the country are, and you've never heard about canning or preparation, being close to the soil and know how to take care of yourself, or have a pantry at home with stuff supplied. You know, God takes care of His own. We don't have to worry about it, all right? You know, naturally, before you can join Satan's government and have him pay off all your bills, including your home, well, he'll do it. All you have to do is believe on him. And it's done. I mean, there's a chicken in every pot with him. But you cannot worship him. That draws the line. We're not going to. But God will always take care of you. But it's best to use a little... I don't even have to tell a lady from Tennessee how to get by. They've been trained how to do that. Okay, do it. Larry from Alabama, please explain 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4. Eat all, never with thanksgiving partake of all God's creatures that and so forth. But you see, you're skipping the third verse. That's where the meat of the thought comes from. You've always got to pick the subject up that's being discussed. Okay, the discussion is the animals that are edible, because verse 3 stipulates, don't let any man judge you in marriage. That's like the fellow that wanted to know if he could marry a married woman. Well, I think he meant a divorcee. Okay, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Don't let anybody judge you in it. If you know that she repented and is innocent, then go for it, okay? But and then it says, and never let man judge you in what you eat, as long as it's what God created to be received. Now, that's your key. If God didn't create it to be received, then you don't even think about it. It'll make you sick. It will make you ill. It will give you, in many cases, cancer. If you partake of it long enough over a long period of time, arthritis. I mean, it'll do a number on you. You need to eat what God created these bodies. And He sent us a how-to book. It's called The Word of God. And He tells us how to do it. We have, unfortunately, polluted our world to the point that it's almost impossible not to have illnesses of one kind or the other, but still, go for the golden ring. Do it God's way, and you'll be blessed. Larry from Arkansas, will you please explain judgment and judgment day? Well, it's real simple. Judgment means the judge is coming. Okay, the judge comes back the first day after the millennium, and the judge is Almighty God. He does not return until the millennium is over, the Lord's Day. And judgment, many people have a negative view of judgment. I don't. It's precious. You know, if you've lived a good life and your works are bountiful, and you've got a lot coming, He's going to give it to you. It's payday. So He judges you. You get this gift and that gift and so on and so forth. And the greatest gift He gives is that as it is documented in Ezekiel 44, is we don't get anything. And many would say, well, now wait a minute. Well, we get him. Okay? He said, don't give them, God's elect now, and that's away from, perhaps I'm changing the subject just a minute. Don't give them any land allotment. They don't get one because I am their inheritance. And boy, that is really something. That's the greatest thing that could ever happen to a person. Christopher from Virginia, I just wanted to know two things. Do you have to go to church to be saved or to be a better person? And the other question is, can rich people be saved or do they love their money too much to be with God? It's according to what their riches are. If they're rich with ill-gotten gains, they're not going. They don't have to worry about going to heaven. They're going to hell. Okay, if they don't unload their donkey. But if you are rich with God's blessings, meaning God always makes His elect successful. Basically, you know, if you stick with it long enough, you're going to make it. You're going to cut it, and you don't have to make any apology. As long, God's word is what saves. Christ is the Savior. And do you have to go to a church to get that? Well, if you're lucky enough to find a church that teaches God's word, you're all right. Then I'm out of time. Hey, I love you because you enjoy studying our Father's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, letting the subject and the object flow as God would have it flow in your mind. Main thing is God loves you for it. It makes His day. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, set a little bit of time aside each day to study God's Word and stay in it every day in it, even with troubles. Good day, because Jesus is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
The Book of Deuteronomy. The law was given as our schoolmaster. Have you been to school on God's Word? Certainly one way to go there is to study the book of Deuteronomy. Probably the most exciting thing that Deuteronomy